Welcome back to Voices from the Frontlines on KPFK 90.7 FM in Los Angeles. On November 18th, over 25,000 marched on Fort Benning, Georgia, calling to close the School of the Americas, now known as the Western Hemisphere Institute for Security Cooperation. The SOA, frequently called the School of Assassins, was opened in 1946 and has trained over 60,000 Latin American soldiers and leaders in counterinsurgency techniques. We are joined today by Father Roy Bourgeois, founder of the School of the Americas Watch, while here in Los Angeles to keep the momentum going of the growing movement to close down the School of the Americas. Welcome to the show, Father Bourgeois.
It's good to be with you, Monroe.
Well, why don't we, I had a chance to go through your book, Disturbing the Peace, that came out a couple of years ago, and wow, I followed your, in many ways, followed the movement because my parents are from El Salvador. I was very surprised about your background. I think why don't we spend a little bit of time to give our listeners some time about your own life history and what led you to come to this point where, you know, you're leading one of the most important movements against the U.S. military, and in particular the movement to close the School of the Americas.
Sure. Well, like most, a product of my experiences, I grew up in a small town in Louisiana, working class family. We were cut off from a bigger world. We didn't critique U.S. foreign policy. We considered ourselves very patriotic. Went to the state university, got a degree in geology, hoping to get rich in the oil fields of perhaps Venezuela one day. When I left college, Vietnam was on, and it was very easy for me to join the military. I became a naval officer. In a way, it was my ticket out of Louisiana. And then for the next 4 years, I was in the military. I traveled quite a bit, 2 years aboard ship, went to a NATO station in Europe for a year, and then volunteered for shore duty in Vietnam. I believed the lies back then. I was the product of a whole lot of, ignorance. I've actually come to see the greatest enemy in our country today, and I speak from personal experience in my own life. We're very ignorant about other countries, our foreign policy in these countries, other cultures, histories of countries so much older than our own. But I went to Vietnam believing the cause was noble, that we were going to be the liberators, the same language they gave us that they use for Iraq. Mm-hmm. And I bought into it. But Vietnam was that turning point in my life. The violence there, I'd never seen that kind of poverty, that kind of violence before. I lost friends there. I was wounded there. I was shaken. Death was very close. And what I thought about most of all, really, was what my death would mean to my close-knit family in the bayous of Louisiana. I look forward to getting out of there. It was hell. And what happened was I started to change. In Vietnam, I met a Catholic priest, a missionary, near our base, caring for over 500 children at this orphanage, and just doing volunteer work there with my friends convinced me that I wanted to change the course in my life. I wanted to try and be a peacemaker. When I left Vietnam, I entered the Maranol community, the Catholic priesthood. Maranol is a group that works in 25 countries around the world serving the poor. I was later ordained a Catholic priest and went to serve the poor of Bolivia, where this slum on the outskirts of La Paz now became my home for the next 5 years. And really it was here, Manuel, where I got educated by the poor that I went there to serve. They became my teachers. And little by little, not overnight, but they began to teach me, this very ignorant gringo, about my country's foreign policy. And all I can say is it was an awakening. I was very, very angry and sad to see my country in Bolivia supporting a brutal dictator, but not only in Bolivia. This was in El Salvador. This was in Chile, Honduras, Argentina, and so many countries, Chile. And little by little, I really now began to see life through the eyes and the experience of the poor, the oppressed, the victims of our country's foreign policy. And it was in my fifth year that I was arrested in Bolivia forced out of the country, came home. It was a very difficult time in my life. I couldn't return. I tried to get back to Bolivia. They wouldn't give me a visa. So I became now very involved in El Salvador and this issue of the U.S. Army School of the Americas. When I came back, let me just say how I, what brought us to Fort Benning, Georgia, where I'm presently living right outside of the main gate of Fort Benning, home of what was known for many years as the School of the Americas. But when I came back from Bolivia, again, not able to go back, forced out, I went to El Salvador. I had never seen anything like El Salvador. It reminded me of Vietnam. In fact, I was more frightened in El Salvador than I was in Vietnam. I've never seen such brutality, such violence being done to the poor. Archbishop Oscar Romero had just been assassinated. Four U.S. churchwomen, two of them were friends, nuns of the Maronil Order, were raped and killed by the soldiers of El Salvador. And what I found in El Salvador, as many of us did, was our country, the United States, once again given guns and military aid to those soldiers during the killing. I came back from El Salvador, as many of us did, and could not shut up. I protested. I spoke out in churches and colleges. And when 500 soldiers from El Salvador came now to Fort Benning to start their combat training here on U.S. soil, I, called friends, a small group of us came to Fort Benning and said, not in our name. And we entered Fort Benning at night. We dressed, three of us, dressed as high-ranking Army officers. We went near the barracks of the Salvadoran soldiers on Fort Benning, where they were, being trained in the art of killing, and this is the role of the military, to be trained in the art of killing. And we went near their barracks, and we had with us this powerful boombox, and it was the last sermon in Spanish of Archbishop Oscar Romero. His sermon given in the cathedral there in San Salvador the day before he was assassinated, where he made his special plea to the men in the military, saying to them, stop the killing, lay down your weapons, disobey your superior officers telling you to kill your fellow campesinos, and obey a higher law, that law that says thou shall not kill. So we scaled this tall pine tree near the barracks when the last lights went out. We just said, Bishop Romero, this is for you, brother. Mm-hmm. And we boomed his voice into the barracks, and, of course, that got us in big trouble. We were arrested. We were brought to trial and then sent to prison for a year and a half. Mm-hmm. And I can only say that we went to prison, seeing this as a humble act of solidarity with sisters and brothers of Latin America who were being killed by graduates of this School of the Americas here at Fort Benning. Prison, I want to say, was a place where I learned that they could not silence us. We spoke from prison. The truth can't be silenced. When I got out of prison, I must say, went back to work, but we could not stop the violence in El Salvador. The military aid increased. It got up to over $1 million a day. And then they went after the Jesuits there in El Salvador, the Jesuits at the university. They were telling the world about what was going on in this little country, El Salvador. The military, November the 16th, 1989, entered the campus of the Jesuits in El Salvador, and after midnight dragged these six Jesuits, most of them scholars, out of their rooms, with them a young mother, their co-worker, and her teenage daughter, Selena. And they were massacred. They were shot at close range. This made the front pages of our newspapers, and it really angered so many of us. And what happened, the U.S. Congressional Task Force went to El Salvador to investigate, came back reporting that those responsible were trained in the United States at a big army base called Fort Benning in Georgia, and at the U.S. Army School of the Americas. When I read that report, I decided now to come to Fort Benning once again to really investigate and do research on the U.S. Army School of the Americas. I was joined by friends, Charlie Litke from San Francisco, Vietnam vet, recipient of the Congressional Medal of Honor, a Jesuit priest, a couple of other Vietnam vets. We had 10 of us. And what we learned, what we discovered here at Fort Benning, was a school of assassins. And I've been, that was years ago, I've been here ever since. We started with a group of 10, and as you mentioned, Monroe, this past November, we had over 25,000 who gathered at the main gate. And the reason we are here and the reason I continue to live outside of the main gate of Fort Benning is to really try to close a U.S. military school that every year trains over 1,000 soldiers from 18 countries in Latin America in military skills that really leads to a lot of suffering and death in Latin America.
We're talking to Father Roy Bourgeois, founder of the School of the Americas Watch, and he's sharing a little bit of an amazing story. Again, as I've told you, I've definitely followed the movement, mainly because one of my main sort of elders here is Maria Guardado, which I'm assuming you know. She's a she was a former person who got tortured in Salvador, and and I think that it's such an amazing movement, because I think that, as you were saying, that a lot of the more progressive movement in the United States who support the struggle to end the war in Salvador has not been able to at least find a very good target, which has been the School of the Americas. Good enough so that, in fact, now they've not only changed the name of the school, but more importantly, as I know from the last vote, there was only 11 votes short in Congress to actually stop the funding of the School of the Americas. Why don't we talk a little bit about how is it looking in that particular struggle? Not only obviously the main direct action that's been going on for years, but now also the struggle that's happening in the Congress.
Yes, we realized just after being here a couple of years and organizing and trying to build a movement to close the school, we realized that we have to go to Washington. They control the purse strings. So, this school was being financed by millions of dollars, all coming from our tax money. So we headed to Washington, and I remember we fasted for 40 days, a juice-only fast on the steps of the Capitol, and really got the attention of people like Representative Joe Kennedy, Joe Moakley, who headed the Congressional Task Force to El Salvador. And they started to vote on this issue, and we had a lot of work to do. And as the movement grew, thousands coming into the movement, we would go to Washington every spring and knock on those congressional doors and write thousands of letters over the years. And sure enough, each time they voted, we got closer and closer. And like you said, this last vote, actually, we lost by 6. That was back in June. And we are going to have another vote in Congress this year, perhaps in a couple of months. So very important if our listeners could simply write their members of Congress saying that you don't want your tax money going into funding a school, again, that is an obstacle to democracy. So the lobbying, the legislative work is a very, very big issue for us, very important. That coupled, actually, in a way, there are like three pillars of our SOA Watch movement. The huge November vigil, when thousands come here from around the country. This last November, I would say over half of those who came from all over the country, many from California, over half were high school and college students. That's given us a lot of hope. This school, I must say, has become somewhat of a teaching moment for us. We can look at this school at Fort Benning, now called the Western Hemisphere Institute for Security Cooperation, and really learn a lot about U.S. foreign policy in Latin America. While they talk about teaching democracy here, it's really about providing the muscle in Latin America for U.S. foreign policy and protecting, of course, the U.S. economic interest of the United States there. Having been in the military, and so many in our movement were in the military or are now a big part of our movement, we certainly ask a basic question. How do you teach democracy to these soldiers, you know, at a military base in an institution, the U.S. Army, that's not democratic? How do you teach democracy behind the barrel of a gun? I live right outside of the main gate. There are two fences surrounding Fort Benning, topped with barbed wire, signs that say no trespassing. And, of course, the basic question that we ask is how do you teach democracy in this setting? This is not about democracy. This is about control. Another pillar of our movement, along with, you know, the lobbying, is our Latin America initiative. A couple years ago, we went to Venezuela and met with President Hugo Chavez to talk about severing Venezuela's ties to this school who had sent over 4,000 of their troops here. And after a meeting with President Chavez, he did say he would have to talk and consult with his ministers. But 3 weeks later, we got official word from Venezuela that they were cutting off all participation in this military school. And that really, having Venezuela withdraw from the school, encouraged us now to begin what we call our Latin America initiative. We said, let's go to all of these countries and meet with their country's leaders, human rights leaders, indigenous leaders, and request that they too sever their ties. And I'm happy to report that after visiting some 13 countries over this last year, we now have 5 countries who have cut off, you know, all involvement in the school, and that's Bolivia, Argentina, Uruguay, Costa Rica, and, of course, Venezuela. And, of course, now next month we're going to Nicaragua and then Ecuador. It's our hope that little by little we'll get more and more countries to simply say no to this school.
We have on the phone Father Roy Bourgeois. And also for folks who are listening, you know, Father Bourgeois is going to be here in Los Angeles. You're going to do a big tour, as I know, and you're going to be a whole set of events out here in Southern California, at least for the moment. Let's try to highlight two. One is tomorrow, Tuesday, January the 8th at 7 p.m., Father Bourgeois is going to be at the United Church of Santa Monica. And also an important event, which is going to be on Saturday, which is a vigil on January the 12th at 11 a.m. at the Los Angeles State Historic Park at 1245 North Spring Street. Here in Los Angeles, if you people who want more information can call 310-838-8131. Well, Father Bourgeois, I think you're right.
Let me just say, excuse me to interrupt, but yeah, there's been a lot of work. So many organizers working very hard for this vigil, this big gathering at the Los Angeles State Historic Park, mm-hmm. as you mentioned, from 11 on Saturday, mm-hmm. from 11 a.m. to 4 at, 1245 North Spring Street. And I really want to make a special invitation to our listeners to try and go to this gathering Saturday at the Los Angeles State Historic Park. What we're going to do, what the organizers are doing, working very hard at this, is to really duplicate what happens here in November when over 25,000 gathered this last November. We are going to sort of, you know, have a repetition of that in Los Angeles, and I just really want to invite the listeners to come to that big event.
Thank you, Father Bourgeois. I think that it was amazing that the stories of Venezuela and Bolivia and Uruguay, when you think about how, I mean, isn't it, did you feel sort of a full circle there where you went down to Bolivia and now, I'm assuming with Evo Morales coming into power, mm-hmm. Now that they've now extricated themselves from this actual program?
Yeah, I'll tell you, Manuel, it was going back. You know, I met in the barrio with all the friends who are still there struggling along, you know, at our daycare center, the little school. And, you know, we reflected. We asked, who would have ever thought way back then that we would now have in Bolivia the first indigenous president? How could this be, we thought. We never once dreamed that this would happen. And, we met with Evo, at 5 o'clock in the morning. And it was a very warm meeting. And he did say that it would take time. He didn't give us an immediate answer like Hugo Chavez. But then months later, he did make it official that Bolivia was pulling out of the school. And that, I want to say, what's going on in Latin America? And we could see that in Bolivia, in Venezuela, in Ecuador, and other countries, Argentina, these countries that we've been visiting. This sea change that's taken place in Latin America, countries that have been so dominated by el imperio, the empire. It's amazing how so many people refer to our country, the United States, as the empire, el imperio. And what we heard in Bolivia from Evo Morales, the president there, and all these other presidents and indigenous leaders that we met with is this. We are welcome, our country, the United States, in Latin America, pero como no como antes, not as before, not as a conquistador to exploit the cheap labor and their natural resources. And what they're saying is that if we want to go in these countries and participate as a partner in their development and building up their country, and really bringing about democracy, we're welcome, but not as before, not as a conquistador. And can we do this as a country? I don't know. Under President Bush, it's not possible. Will our next president, be able to do that? But let me just say, I think we have a lot of work to do. The first thing, of course, is to let our voices be heard about, I'm kind of saddened by Iraq dominating the news so much along with these presidential elections that Latin America is not really on the radar screen now. And our goal, of course, is to keep our sisters and brothers of Latin America, Central America, in the news and to simply let people and our leaders know what we have done to Latin America and Central America in the past and what we continue to do to these countries and the people there by continuing to operate this school of assassins down at Fort Benning, Georgia.
We're talking to Father Roy Bourgeois, founder of the School of the Americas Watch. Well, Father Bourgeois, we have a couple more minutes, but me and my co-host Tammy Liu were discussing how, in some ways, You're a break of an important generation inside the church, where the church actually stood for something. And it saddens me that there's been a very right wing version of the church now, especially inside the Catholic Church, where in many ways many of the voices, important voices like yourself, are no longer here. Here in Los Angeles, we had Father Olivares, who was very key to our own form of development here in Los Angeles, and it's really sad to see that, but sad, and yet I'm, at the same time, very hopeful that you've continued the struggle. And again, I really want to invite folks to go out to all the events that Father Bourgeois is going to be here in Los Angeles for almost the whole week. He's going to go to, if you guys want to go to service, you want to go to a rally, Father Bourgeois is going to be doing a world tour here in Los Angeles. Again, for more information, people can call 310-838-8131, and as Father Bourgeois is saying, there's going to be an important vigil and action on January 12th at 11 a.m. at the Los Angeles State Historic Park. Again, that's 1245 North Spring Street, and folks, you can come and hear this important voice to try to close down this school of the assassins and hopefully raise the broader questions of not only the military strength of the United States, but more importantly, the economic and cultural strains that it's having on the world. Well, with that, Father Bourgeois, again, I really want to thank you, and I'm hoping to get a chance to meet you on this trip. And that's the ends for today's program of Voices from the Frontline. This is your co-host, Manuel Criollo, and I'm with my co-host was Tammy Bang Liu. We'd like to thank our guests, Vijay Prashad and Father Roy Bourgeois. Today we heard music from Marvin Gaye, Oso Motley, and Ray Barreto. You can listen to previous Voices show at www.thestrategycenter.org and send comments to voices@thestrategycenter.org. We'd like to thank our producer, Christine Blogsdale, and D'Angelo Jones, who is our engineer for today. I'd like to thank our production organizer, Lisa Adler. And we'll see you next week from Voices from the Frontlines. Up next is Beneath the Surface with Susie Wiseman.